Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and how is it that we are simultaneously living in what is one of the most nerve-wracking political environments in history, and also one of its dumbest? Fucking McDonald's? Really? Ugh. And with me, I have...
Don't be a football fan. It will crush you in the blink of an eye, just like it did me. Ugh.
And
look, I was gonna say right now, Assassin's is kind of still kind of dope. And yes, and yes, I know that the last thing that just showed up, which well, very underwhelming, but y'all just like being cynical towards every fucking thing.
Wait, who's down on Lazarus?
I mean, okay, I'm just saying, like after everything with Uzumaki, people start saying, like, oh, Dom might be next, or some bullshit like that.
I mean, Uzumaki, the Rick and Morty anime, Ninja Kamui was sadly the best one we got this year, I think.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Moist Criticals videos lately. He put it best when he talked about these shows. It's just... an unlucky streak. Like, something went wrong that was out of Adult Swim's control and just messed everything up.
And you know, people love to just point blank because they don't know what to do.
Look, I'm all about letting Shinichiro Watanabe cook, okay? I don't want this to be bad.
This is my right here. Like, yeah, I want him to cook, too. I'm bigger than him, but I'm still wanting shit to be good.
Fucking let him cook, let him pan roast, let him oven roast, let him saute, let him do what he has to do.
The report is the show's pretty much done, it's just in post-production, so...
Yeah.
Crossing our fingers here.
Mm-hmm.
Although, for the love of God, for once, can we not have this be another subtitle premiere lead? I'm just saying, leave that for elsewhere. Let them, because you know them shows got them good dubs, especially if it's anything Watanabe's done. Have they never not had good dubs?
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed, and hopefully it will be done with going over into next year. And unrelated note, why did none of you tell me Invincible Fight Girl was about pro wrestling?
That
was kind of important to know, just saying.
Honestly, I had no idea either. I thought it was just about fighting.
I just know about this, so I'm stumped. Looks good though.
It does look very fun. Anyway, here we are, episode 369.
Ha! Nice.
One more time. Sorry. How's everyone's week been going?
It's been a long week on my end. I'll just say that this stretch of hell at my work is going to be coming to an end very soon, and God, it cannot end fast enough, but, yeah, that's about all I have to say. I didn't really do much else on my end except watch my football team crumble very slowly into nothing. Just my team is the walking fucking dead right now. It's not fun. It's fun when you're winning. When you're losing, it's just the worst.
Yeah, you're really going through it, buddy.
I'm trying to be as cockeyed optimistic as possible. Mostly for my own mental well-being, because this is not a fun hobby to be in when you're on the losing end.
Yeah. And people wonder why I haven't taken up sports as a hobby. I've learned from the mistakes of my friends.
You're better off. Also because Miami sports are terrible.
I heard of that too. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, it's been, well, not much has happened, just the usual work, right, and some other W word, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's it.
So, as for me, Not really much other than just kind of lying around watching a bunch of horror movies and stuff. This weekend I saw The Nun 1 and 2, which were all right. Honestly, I think my knowledge of the Conjuring universe is like the first two mainline films and that first movie about the doll. But I mean, the Nun movies were all right. I just kind of like, you know, the period production design and all, just that good 1950s design architecture aesthetic thing. You know what I mean? I also saw Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which I thought was all right. Like, I never grew up with the books or anything, so I don't know how it fares as an adaptation, but I thought it was interesting, and some of the horror stuff, and that was legitimately like, oh god, that guy was fucking vomiting up straw and turning into a fucking scarecrow. Ugh. And on the flip side of all that, my roommate decided it was a good time for me to watch a movie called Lava Lantula. It is about a volcano erupting in Los Angeles and unleashing fire-breathing tarantulas. It is very, very stupid. But also very fun to laugh at. If you want to know what kind of stupid, there's a point where the main character runs into a cameo from the main actor from the Sharknado movies. And not like him playing himself, he literally just says, oh yeah, I can't stick around, I have to go deal with some shark business.
Ian Ziering, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good lord.
I mean,
did the money dry up that fast?
Look, you're talking about a movie made in the mid-2010s where the most famous actor in it is fucking Michael Winslow. Also, there is a sequel that is titled, and I kid you not here, you can find it on Tubi, look it up if you think I'm lying, Two Lava, Two Lantula.
Oh.
I am relishing from the psychic damage I'm giving you all. I hear that laugh. That's what I know that feeling. But yeah, not much else. So anyway, let's move on to the, of course, usual weekly business, starting with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all of that jazz. And we're going to throw it over to Mark to get things started with these first couple of songs here.
Yeah, this looks like a me week for most of it. So, yeah. So, first we got Lucy from, another couple that I, you know, that I didn't respect. And it's very underrated, not me, to me in terms of, you know, over it. And yes, it's another white dude. Nope, damn, I think they both of the other like this. Anyway, it's Nicholas Craven.
Hey.
Yeah, the one that probably does the simple stitching here thing, which I get. So Lucy here with the rappers on Ransom, and oh hey, Stoke got Cooks. The rapper that I normally always hear whenever Griselda's around. And it's just called Unreal. Which I don't know, there's somebody, I don't know, the cover art, which, okay, who's the white lady? I don't know who she is.
I think it's okay. AI Margot Robbie. Just a guess.
Okay. I mean, now get unreal, because that shit does look unreal. Anyway, what the checklist is? Okay, what the checklist is? Okay, it's fine. It is some good soul song production. Something from me from Kramer, which I thought was very good. Like Ransom got some good bars in first half, but I feel like Stove God kind of took over the latter half. I mean, both of y'all's good chemistry on here. And something that I can bop to, which, alright, this is alright, there's some good shit on here from them, man. Yeah, that's all I got to say for this.
Cool.
Alright. Our next track is, oh, look, a new old friend, Mike. Yes, that mic. So maybe so apparently he's doing a lot of, you know, I think he's going on tour. I mean, he's going on tour recently, and he has another like list to go out, which is titled "Pieces of a Dream," which, well, the title sounds about right, because this is very like narcoleptic but upbeat. That's what I give him. It's like, this sounds sleepy, but it's like, I can, it's something you probably hear while you're sleeping, which, okay. Okay, it's very drunk, it's like you're on NyQuil, and I'm like, okay, there's some good. Make up like a verse, like, you know, was hype, overpressed, don't much advice to begin to touch, but this is gonna pretend what a dice on paper, such like basically shit like that. That, like, Chuck sounds kind of nice. I know some might say he's mumbling, but I don't think it's mumbling. It's just like I said, it's more, you know, sleepy, that type of sound each day looking from the song. But yeah, I thought this was all right.
Fair enough. Now, let's move on to my neck of the woods. Can I talk? I'm a little bit tired, maybe. But anyway, so earlier this year, we saw the release of Coagulated Bliss, the newest studio album from grindcore band Full of Hell, which means it's just about time for them to swerve into collaborative territory. I mean, fuck, the last collaboration album they dropped was literally the tail end of December last year with the shoegaze band Nothing. You think they're gonna go a whole year without doing that shit? That's fucking an eternity in fucking grindcore years. God, that would be like if we finished out the year without getting another King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard album. Like, come on, people. So, this album that they just announced is a collaboration with a Toronto-based industrial artist named Andrew Nolan. It's dropping November 15th, and the project is titled Scraping the Divine. Very fitting. And, of course, we have the lead single here, Burdened by Solar Mass, which opens up with this kind of odd dichotomy between the guitars and drums, as the guitars kind of drone on these two notes, possibly a very elongated string bend, while the drums are just going off with, like, D-beats and blast beats and fucking rapid fills aplenty. And then about a minute in, it switches to what I assume is Nolan's own home turf with this kind of slow, trudging, synthetic drum beat and a lot of these kind of, like, eerie horror soundscapes, almost kind of like an animal, like, poking its head in and out of the water to kind of stalk you before it goes to attack you. And then we kind of bring it back to that first section to close things out. And as you can probably figure, as a guy who enjoys himself some off-putting industrial noise and grind, this is quite my shit.
Okay. Well, if industrial grindcore is your thing, this is your thing. Well, for me, this really isn't my thing. So, it's loud, it's evil, and I hear people like that. So, good on you, folks.
Now we're moving on to the next track here, which comes courtesy of Ferg. No ASAP. Maybe. Maybe ASAP? I don't even know anymore.
Alright, so, the rest of the year, for a few weeks now, we've been talking about, you know, the losing job, but now he has the actual project coming out, which is called Daryl, or just, imagine Harold, okay, it's spelled like Harold, but with a D. Like, Daryl, yeah, that's, yeah, his first project in 4 years. And of course got a new chick called Father Was Dead, which I don't think no one thought he was dead. And I will say it involves like ASAP well fur tracks now. I keep calling some motherfucking ASAP. And because of fur tracks, like, this is really, okay, it's energetic, it's hyper. Not hyper, but more like energetic, like has a bombast, like even has a It began with a fucking horn. It began with horns, like, because we got horns. You know, can end for someone of a banger in that. And you know what? And okay, what I heard is it's fine. I mean, he got a close on the beat. It's going to be something very, epic and extravagant. Well, not that extravagant, but it got people like, Lex Luger and Michael May to produce it. Speaking of which, hey, Mike Will is back again to do some shit. I guess you got something to do. Anyway, for this, song, it's fine. I mean, it's your typical fur track that does get the energy up. Which, it's nice. It's cool, but maybe not as good as the past fur tracks that I listened to. But yeah, I'll just go with that.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add either. So now moving on to the next track. Looks like we got Absol coming soon.
Yep, another Absol project, which I guess it'd take, almost 7 years to be for another project. This time it's a mixtape this time, which he calls Soul Burger, which that's his nickname. Yes, Soul Burger.
Huh.
It's like a Good Burger spinoff.
Funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, the song is called All That. And the chorus has, "Same suit had to reheat it, then know my name had to repeat it. I want the rah rah with the blah blah blah, all that like Kellen Keenan." What are we talking about? Also features guest vocals from Jason Martin and Thirsty P, who's guessing doing the post chorus. I read this line from the verse from Jason Martin, which he said, "Quote, goes at his 155. You will not see to be. You will not see to be CPT. You never saw Chile for EBT. 5 shots of Vegas, no Keith D. My cheese Taylor Swift, stay with somebody to pop. We be the West, one knows the snot, moving like that good West Coast back. Somebody would do with Seawalk too, which the beat's kind of good. Like got people like Deuce by Rascal and Tay Beast. It's a fun. Sounds some good West Coast shit, and to hear Absol do another project so soon after the last one he did with it's called Herbert. Yeah, it's called Herbert. It was released around the same time Scissor's album was released, sort of, because it was like around 2022, which that got big in 2023. Scissor's album did. But doing a mixtape, right? This video, like the stuff from here from Apple lately, it's been kind of good. And all right, I'm up for it.
So, Ferg and Absol on the same day, interesting. Though I'm gonna be honest, if we're just talking between these two tracks together, I know it might be apples to oranges. I feel like I like the Ferg track more. I don't know, the Absol track wasn't. I guess you could say, for me, I didn't think it was all that. Where did you all get tomatoes suddenly? Anyway, let's move on from my bad jokes to this next song here. So, okay, I suppose it's been a while since we've had to delve into the musical territory known as K-pop, as the kids say. Oh boy, let's see if we survive.
I'll get the shields.
Thank you. They're over there on the top shelf.
Right, well, thankfully this time it's less BTS and more Blackpink, kind of.
Yeah, so the group Blackpink, they're all off doing solo stuff at the moment. And this time around, we...
Slipknot's mid!
Hey, you're mid!
I think we've touched on a touchy subject here.
One of my other roommates just opened the door to say Slipknot is mid.
Ah. I mean, the last album certainly was, but as a whole, I would disagree.
Absolutely. I swear to God, I'm pretty sure they're going to sleep right now. Otherwise, I would have harsh words. Anyway, so, yeah, we're here talking about Rosé of Blackpink fame. She announced her solo debut, Rosé, coming out December 6th. So, pretty much by the time all the year-end best of lists get published. So, I don't know, probably not going to get on, like, the Pitchfork list or anything. But, let's talk about this song anyway. The single we have here is called APT. I wanted to say at first it was apt, but listening to how it's pronounced in the song, I think it's, like, apt. I think it's some kind of, like, Korean drinking game or something. But, anyway, she's actually not alone on this, because this track is a collaboration with, and let me see if I make sure I have this in my notes right, Bruno Mars.
Oh, wow, okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, but I don't know, maybe he's got a thing for, like, maybe he's like Anderson .Paak, he has some weird passing fascination with K-pop. But anyway, first of all, okay, whoever's idea it was to double time the video speed in the editing bay needs to be slapped. Because honestly, it's... I guess they must have thought it would look cool and stylistic, but it's just really annoying to watch.
Yeah. Also, it kind of makes it feel like it's a long-lost Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fantasy cutaway bit with how it's shot, and it's just kind of off-putting. Doesn't really fit the mood here.
Not really. And what is that mood, you maybe ask? Because we should probably actually talk about the song. I mean, well, I suppose in the grand tradition of Bruno Mars aping retro music trends, I probably shouldn't be surprised that this kind of sounds like a modern pop rock version of Mickey by Tony Basil. It's mainly the drums. Like, I just hear that exact, like, percussion tone and, like, the stomp and everything. It's just like, hey, Mickey, you're so fun. Like, just that kind of, like, 80s new wave type shit, but updated for modern times, and, like, it's okay. I honestly don't really get much out of this, and since I'm not a K-pop stan, I can't tell you how it squares with the broader Blackpink career, so, like, I don't know, y'all are gonna have to do that extra work for me. Take my opinion with a grain of salt.
Okay, let's see. She was on, guns on. Okay, grenades. Alright, got it. Okay, alright. Alrighty. I have no song feelings for the song. I have no song feelings one way or the other.
I second that. It is a song. It exists. And if anybody tries to go after me, pocket sand!
I need some pocket sand myself someday. But now we can actually move on to the big one, the final song of the week here. So remember, I think it was like last episode or the episode before when we talked about that Pitchfork list of the top 100 albums of the decade so far, and one of the ones listed was Tyler, the Creator's Call Me If You Get Lost. That was a good album. Also, that was 3 years ago.
Yes.
Which, I mean, about that time, yep. That pretty much means like, that's your normal album cycle, especially, like, with Tyler. So we're probably, like, overdue for some new material. And, oh, hey, look at that! Sudden teases on the internet abound! So, yes, we can officially now confirm that the man, the myth, the legend, Tyler, the Creator, is dropping his newest album October 28th. So, not on Friday, but rather literally, like, the week after, like, when we're recording this episode.
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday.
So in other words, if we do an episode next week, we'll be doing it when this is out.
Yeah.
It's like, motherfucker, how am I supposed to record an episode when there's Tyler to listen to? You know what? I'm just going to do what, like, people do when a new video game comes out. Just like, hey, guys, I can't record the podcast this week. I'm kind of coming down with a sickness right now. No, this isn't about Tyler. Why do you ask? It shut up!
I was gonna say, Akasam. It's called Chromacopia. It's a rare exotic disease.
Chromacopia, you say? Now, when you put it like that, that sounds like the name of the newest studio album by Tyler, the Creator. Very coincidental. But yeah, the album is called Chromacopia, if you're wondering what that name means. It's a portmanteau of two words that I think basically adds up to, like, a sudden explosion and saturation of color. And I just want to point out something real quick. As soon as the announcement went up on all the news blogs, I immediately saw the artwork being reposted by that one Twitter account, Raw Album Covers. Because goddamn, dude, this artwork do be looking raw as fuck. Like, it's literally like Tyler sepia tone with kind of like that, what do you call it? Like the Fresh Prince fade, but he's got like kind of chopped in half down the middle, and he's wearing like a super cheap Holly, like fucking Party City mask that, again, that looks like serial killer shit. Goddamn.
Yeah, it fits with the video too, because it starts off kind of sepia tone. And then we get the boom explosion, and suddenly all the color appears.
Yeah, and this song is one of the...
Yeah.
So we got what feels kind of like an interlude, or maybe the album intro. It's called Saint Chroma. And it definitely feels a bit different from what we were hearing on Call Me If You Get Lost. Because, like, the beat kind of has, like, these dragging synths, but a lot of that's offset by this, like, very energetic, steady, marching stomp of feet to kind of drive the tempo and everything. Not to mention, it's pretty short, but all things considered, it leaves an impact, especially because, like, Tyler's flow here is very, like, hushed and maintains this, like, quiet intensity throughout the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, in short, it's short, sweet, and short, sweet, and doesn't make me for more, considering there's another track that's out, like today, as we're recording this.
That I did not have time to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
Promo cycles hate me. So, yeah, that's pretty much about all we have to report. Obviously, I'm very much looking forward to this. So, that'll about do it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have the news. So, stay tuned. And we're back. We got a decent amount of news to discuss. These first couple of topics see the return of a favorite segment of ours, a tradition that goes as far back as a couple episodes ago, I think. I guess technically longer, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. In other words, it's time for Hip Hop on the Silver Screen.
Siskel and Ebert theme song.
Yep. Simply this guy is, well, he's more just one genre, but fuck it. Okay, he's done it before. But anyway, let's talk about one of our favorite musicians in here, Flying Lotus.
Hey.
So remember we got a movie coming out. Called Ash.
This is true.
And as article state, in which his full name is Stephen D. Bingley Ellison, I can see why he goes by Flying Lotus now.
You know, I'm just going to say it. Stephen D. Bingley Ellison sounds like the kind of name you see on the Rest in Peace card at the end of every episode of Smiling Friends.
No. Okay. What is Ash about? See, Ash is upcoming sci-fi film in which a woman wakes up in a distant planet to find that her crew of her space station has been killed. You decide if she's just a man sent to rescue her. It features some interesting casting. You got. And I can't say her name right.
Gonzalez.
Yeah, Isabella Gonzalez, which you've probably seen her before in movies like Baby Driver and Godzilla vs. Kong. That's the only two I know her from. Everybody's favorite, Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul from series like Breaking Bad, and playing asexual icon Todd Chavez in BoJack Horseman.
Yep.
All right. Also, this is interesting. Iko Uwai, who you know from one of my favorite action films of all time, The Raid.
Aw, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. Bula Cole and Kate Elliott. Also, the movie is produced by Neil Blomkamp, the name I ain't heard in a while.
Yeah, I wonder what he's been up to.
Yeah, but
look, I'm just saying, there's probably a reason we haven't heard from him in ages.
Yeah, yeah, okay, Of course, Lois has a role in the film himself, and also got Jodie Rimler wrote the film, and of course, as you expect, he will also score the movie, which. Which sounds nice, of course. Of course, it reached by the company RLJE Films, do theatrically. And of course, streaming it will be, well, Shudder. Because they also stream other stuff like Kuso. And of course, the latter, well, at least, I guess, the whole BJ film series, which, of course, we mentioned before, he did something in 99.
Still need to watch
which,
that.
Which, yeah. This is something that maybe I should probably invest in Shudder, probably. Since we used to get it do this thing that don't exist anymore. If you remember that one, what's it called? What's it called? Verve. Remember Verve?
Don't we all?
Yeah. Damn, man. I was watch Kuso when they got rid of that. Shit.
Damn.
All right. So anyway, onto our next related thing. So there's a new Night Patrol. The main people highlighting here is Justin Long, Jermaine Fowler, and RJ Sala, which I mean we all know Justin Long for a lot of things. Jermaine Fowler I know because he's part of the movie The Blackening, which that was that was actually great. And RJ Sala, which people know him from that one black dude from that Power Rangers movie that people forgot.
Which one?
And some other things too. I don't know something about Krispy Kreme or some shit.
Oh god, I sat through that movie. Oh my god, yeah. I blocked that out of my mind.
Yeah.
It's just a lame-ass CW pilot with a bad episode of Power Rangers stapled on at the end. What the fuck?
Yeah. Okay, anyway, I'm told to indie horror feature from director and co-writer Ryan Prowse. Producing will be Keith Levine and David S. Goyer under the Phantom Four banner. Yeah, David S. Goyer, you know, that guy who you probably remember him writing either two good movies and some bad ones.
Glares menacingly.
Okay, now, is he wondering why I mentioned this? Because, there are three key hip-hop people in here. That being, once again, Flying Lotus, rapper YG, and Freddie Gibbs.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember the last time we talked about YG in a movie was, something called White Boy Rick.
White Boy Rick.
Remind me. Danny, White Boy Rick. I think Danny Brown was in that one too, or am I thinking of a different movie?
He was.
Oh, I was right.
He was in that. He was in that one. He was not in. He is a blink and you miss him. Also, the other dude, RJ Sala, was in that movie too.
Interesting. A lot of a crossover, and Yeah, speaking of Flying Lotus being in this movie as well, apparently one of the credited producers is Josh Goldblum, who's credited with work on the VHS series. Hmm. Also, it looks like, according to the cast listing, apparently there was also a key role in the film from CM Punk, which, Alex, I'm unsure. Do people hate him now? Do people like him now? Because it feels like opinion on him is like coin flip every other day.
It's complicated. That's all I'm going to say. I'll just say, since this is a horror movie, is CM Punk going to get his face torn off like Chris Jericho in Terrifier 3?
Wait, he was in that movie?
Oh, yeah,
he was in that movie.
Okay, then.
Okay, and also, there's a lot mentioned about VHS, except I heard that they're now doing another VHS movie.
So, actually, let's see here, because it looks like there's a little bit of a synopsis here. So, it says, in Patrol, an LAPD officer played by Fowler must put aside his differences with the area's street gangs when he discovers a local police task force is harboring a horrific secret that endangers the residents of the housing projects he grew up in. Justin Long is Fowler's partner on the force. Siler is the officer's brother. And apparently CM Punk is the sergeant's brutal right-hand man. So, you know, maybe some bad shit will happen to his face.
we can only hope.
So, yeah, this is currently targeting 2025. I mean, cop horror, that sounds like it'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Not much else to add. Obviously, we gotta keep an eye out for a trailer whenever that drops.
Yeah.
So, now, let's move on to the next topic here. So, now that we have news of Tyler, the Creator, gearing up for new musical activity again in full force, it's probably fitting that, like, the day after he announced Chromacopia, we got the lineup for the 2024 edition of the Camp Flognaw Carnival. You know, the one in Los Angeles, and it's, you know, pretty stacked with stuff. This is the first time it's been happening in, like, it was on hiatus for 3 years. It came back last year, and now it's back again. So, So the poster here is, look, I understand the stylistic choices. Really, I do. The poster does, like, the fucking crosswords for all the artists. But, like, again, I just want some hierarchy. Some basic visual descending cohesion.
It's almost
as bad as the 3-point circle. Because I'm trying to, like, read everything, and, like, I don't know what names I haven't read, and if I'm double reading names, just
Because I think they had people try to do, like, a crossword puzzle, which, I mean, that's kind of fun, but it's like, well, trying to do this shit, it's like, it's trying to make sure I don't say the same name twice. So how do we do this shit?
So I'm just going to trust that, hang on, let me see here. Just as a precautionary measure, I'm opening up the, link to the, oh god, there's not actually like a, okay, so there actually is, like, a lineup on the... Oh, man, but the lineup on the website is alphabetical.
We'll just start from the top and work our way down.
I mean, I was just going to read from the body of the Stereo Gum piece, because thank God to, oh, hey, Tom Breihan again. We're actually writing all this shit out. So, yeah, for reference, this is taking place November 16th and 17th at Dodger Stadium.
Enjoy the traffic, fuckos.
Looks like the, headlining, this year is, of course, Tyler. His co-headliner is Playboi Carti.
Why?
I don't know.
Can we petition to replace him with, like, West Side Gun, or Conway the Machine, or anyone from Griselda?
That would be pretty cool, but I don't know. Yeah. I guess Playboi Carti still has clout. As far as I'm concerned, he's just a TikTok meme at the moment. I hope they play Fiend. This is a Beyblade tournament. Anyway, enough of internet brain rot. So, yeah, outside of that, a lot of the big names you're getting here include the likes of Andre 3000, who will be playing New Blue Sun in full. Erica Badu. Kate Renata.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Schoolboy Q. Daniel Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Omar Apollo. And the Marias. And, of course, you got a bunch of odd future comrades and homies, including the likes of Earl Sweatshirt. You got Sid, Domo Genesis, Mike G, and Left Brain. But where's Taco?
That's who the people want. We want Taco, damn it!
Oh, yeah, and I guess Ben Staples is going to be there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, no big deal, you know, no big deal, yeah.
Okay. And of course, it says two massively important rap producers will perform with Friends, a.k.a. Mustard and the Alchemist, a villain that, well, there's also something there which is called FM Mood, a tribute to MF Doom.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if we're delving... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, we got a bunch of other people in there, too, which I guess you're about to say, or do you want me to,
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Okay, the other people we got Sexy Red, Faye Webster, Denzel Curry, Sampa, Dolce, oh, Blood Orange, oh, Abe's Tumor.
Yeah.
Okay, Mace. Okay, where's he been? Okay, Tommy Richmond. Okay, that's another guy who's been, you know, TikTok hot for a minute. Okay, we got Action Bronson. All right, Ray, Wasp, Hanavu, Layla. I mean, that's Kenny Mason, Matt Champion, Nakiel Smith, Orion Sun, Gene Dawson, a million more, Concrete Boys, Jordan Ward, Latin Mafia, Led, the Mainliners, and Rio Moore.
Yeah, that pretty much seems like
everyone. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey, I know all you people. Well, not all of you, but I know the majority of you. And I fuck with some of you. It's just as I would go, except, I got money for that. Yeah.
Also, still, this is very, very, very expensive.
Yeah.
That's so basically, like so basically costs like...
Yeah.
It basically costs like... So it costs like what, like 14 robs?
2-day general admission pass, $372. That includes one wristband good for entry to festival on both days, carnival rides, game tickets are not included and will be sold separately, and special advanced sale gift included with each order. And then there's the advanced sale for VIPs, which is $662.
Okay. Make that 14 bucks and two Alexes.
Let's not forget about the two-day super VIP admission pass, which is $1,757.
Okay, so that's 14 bucks, three Alexes, make that five Alexes and two me's.
And a ham sandwich on top.
With Doritos.
Good lord, you're gonna need like the fucking... You're gonna need to sell off the 12 days of Christmas worth of the three of us just to afford to go.
Oh, God,
yeah. 12 days of Christmas
plus, plus, you have to actually fly to Los Angeles, which is, hell.
And let's not forget, $156.50 for unlimited carnival games, and $65 for 2-day general parking.
Which you'll need because Dodger Stadium is located in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Good lord.
Fuck.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you have the money, it seems like it'd be a fun time. But yeah. Now let's move on to the next thing here. So, we had already heard the rumors. There had been the rumblings. There had been confirmed statements. But now we know for a fact that it is 100% unambiguously true. The Vans Warped Tour will be officially returning in 2025. Asterisk.
Yeah.
What is the asterisk, you may ask? Well, for those of you who are too young to remember, in the before time, in the long, long ago, Warped Tour was a summer touring festival with pretty much hitting up new cities like every other day all across America, multiple stage setups, just the most insane scheduling possible. You would go there, you would drop off your parents at the adult daycare, you would go look at the giant inflatable schedule to see whether you should go see Of Mice and Men or After the Burial, or if you had to make a choice between 4 Years Strong and A Day to Remember. But as it turns out, for this upcoming 30th-ish anniversary, I think, reunion thing, or actually, maybe my years are off, but either way, you get what I mean. So for the 2025 run, it's going to be hitting up only 3 cities. Each is going to be 2 days, and your cities, the actual dates and stuff, are as follows. June 14th and 15th at the festival grounds at RFK campus in Washington, D.C. Oh, God, I hope it's not that RFK.
No, it's the first one who died.
Oh, thank fuck. July 26th to the 27th at the Shoreline Waterfront in Long Beach, California. And November 15th through the 16th at the Camping World Stadium campus in Orlando, Florida. The pre-sale begins Thursday, October 24th, with 2-day passes starting at $149.98, fees included. Holy shit. Inflation is a bitch and a half.
Yeah. I'm not going to say how much money I spent on Metallica tickets for their show in Charlotte next year, but I feel more comfortable paying that much for those tickets than I do for this, considering I don't have a very good feeling about who the lineup will be. Just call it a hunch. Call it a gut feeling. I'm expecting When We Were Young, but run by a couple more people who actually know what they're doing.
Look, like, I mean, maybe there could be, I mean, the entire state of, like, that scene can't be too bad. Like, look, the way I see it, like, when I look at past year's Warped Tour lineups, for context, I only ever went twice. And when I think about all the bands that I wanted to see and that I got to see them all in one day, I mean, like, I'm still pretty satisfied anyways. I feel like that's probably how it is with most lineups, and maybe even how it'll be with this one, too. Like, they're saying about 70 to 100 acts at each stop. Supposedly, they're going to try to be very selective in finding some unique twist to the lineup, and I don't exactly know what that means. That could be marketing spin, but, you know, they might get some good stuff in there. Like, all I know is if we get stuff like Touche Amore or fucking Knocked Loose on the main stage, I'd be there. Arf, arf, motherfuckers. Just no bad omens. No bad omens. Oh, who am I kidding? They're totally going to get bad omens.
All I'm going to say is prepare for the worst. Prepare for Ronald.
Oh, fuck, right, yeah. Ah, fuck me.
Delete your Twitter account and stay deleted, you fuck.
Yeah. But we're still waiting on the lineup for that. The pre-sales, again, go on sale on the 24th this week, so do with that what you will.
Yeah, and hopefully the t-shirts will not have spelling errors like When We Were Young did, because, oh my god, how do you fuck that up?
Because poor literacy is something that you really should be able to avoid on a big festival lineup like this.
And why were there bands performing in, like, conference rooms?
I do not know.
God.
But as
like, I saw that the Devil Wears Prada performing in what has to be like a hotel conference room. I don't understand it.
I don't really understand either, but we gotta wait on more information for all that weird shit, so let's move on to the last news story here. Speaking of festivals and such, we have the lineup for the 2025 iteration of Sick New World, taking place Saturday, April 12th, 2025 at the Las Vegas Festival Grounds. I wonder where that's located at.
Somewhere in Vegas, although I think they have like four or five actual outdoor stages, so it's a little bit more well-run than some other festivals. Also, this is a week before WrestleMania in Las Vegas, so good luck trying to do both in 1 week, everybody. You're gonna be spending like, I don't know, $20,000 in a week just for all that.
Good fucking lord. But, yeah, so let's actually look at the lineup here, which it seems like there's been a bit of contention about this one, like, very split middle of the road reactions.
Yeah, they've been kind of known as like the New Metal Revival Festival, which has its good and bad. This time around, they're going for like bigger names, which means it's not terrible. Well, to me anyway.
We're gonna go through this, because, yeah, there's kind of like bigger mainstay acts, but there's also just like a lot of oddities in here. Like, you're just trying to think of like how all this squares with each other. But, you know, let's start right here at the top. Probably the main reason why Alex says it's not terrible, because your big headliners include Metallica.
Yeah.
And Linkin Park.
Yeah, which means System of a Down is not going to be showing up for the first time in, like, its existence.
Stick a pin in that.
Yeah, well, most of System of a Down, anyway.
All right, and running down the rest of the lineup here, we have Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, Just play all of December Underground in its entirety and nothing else. maybe sing the Sorrow.
Yeah, Miseria Cantare, yes.
You also got Evanescence.
Mm-hmm.
Ministry.
Because quotas.
311. Investigate. The Sisters of Mercy. Gojira.
Very cool.
And here's probably the first immediate oddball I can think of. The metal band Acid Bath.
Yeah, suddenly reuniting to do a show here. Would you believe me if I told you Danny Wimmer paid the guys in Crossfade some money to reunite for his festivals? Because this is apparently an epidemic going on right now.
What, people paying obscure bands to reunite?
Obscure and big bands. Slayer.
You know what? I'll fucking believe anything at this point. But moving further on through the list, we have Glassjaw, The Flaming Lips.
You know what? One thing I found about The Flaming Lips, I found that they one of the writers, Wayne Coy, co-wrote that Duck Dodger song, the one with Tom Jones, which that is weird to me. Like, okay.
Better to be associated with that than a certain album from a certain individual.
Yeah.
Why they put the dick in the pussy? I don't know, Miley.
Ugh. You just had to remind me that existed. I was having a good night, too. You know, until my roommate interrupted me. Anyway, Darren Malakian and Scars on Broadway. So there's one System of a Down member showing up. There's also the band Down.
Yep, Phil Anselmo's New Orleans area sludge band, yeah.
And speaking of reunions, 3 Days Grace, returning with original vocalist Adam Gontier.
And the new vocalists.
Both?
Yeah, both.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose?
Look, the whole industry's fucked right now. We're just taking what we can get. Let them deal with it.
Yeah, I'm just saying that this would be like if Reboot Dante and Original Continuity Dante were in the same game together. Anyway, Testament, Cannibal Corpse.
Okay.
Meshuga.
Remember, kids, we all rip off Meshuga.
We got Tomahawk, which wasn't that Peter Griffin's punked style show? You just got tomahawked.
Oh, God.
Speaking of oddball curves, Cradle of Filth.
Go away.
Let's see. I think I already mentioned Testament. Mastodon. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Refused, making one of the stops on their second farewell tour. There's Filter. Terror. Mayhem?
Apparently Mayhem, yeah.
Something called Twitter. Oh, I'm sorry, X.
Xene John Billy DJ 1977, whatever that is.
Poison the Well. The metalcore band from my neck of the woods.
Okay.
They're a pretty good band. That's just, again, just kind of out there. Fucking Berber Ding, Berber Ding, Berber Ding.
Yeah, they're still around. They're still touring.
Exodus, for another classic dose of 80s thrash. Oh, hey, Rob Flynn.
Yeah, Machine Head's here, too. Also, you forgot, did you mention the Melvins? Because they're here, too.
Oh, right, I thought I was skipping something. But, yeah, that's another oddball, the Melvins.
Melvins, yeah.
What else? Oh, shit, I think I missed, Underoath.
Yeah.
The Hives. Carcass.
Carcass, yes.
And Kitty.
Still doing new material, if you can believe it.
I do not believe it. Anyway, we have, let's see, what else? Arch Enemy. Twin Tribes. Quicksand. Sponge. Deer and Gray, for all the metalhead weebs in the audience. Static X.
Asterisk, the remaining members of Static X.
Era.
There's more, I'm thinking of something. I'm thinking of a different band. Never mind.
Stabbing Westward.
Yep, because late 90s alternative metal. Why not?
I have no idea what this one is. That's just a dude inside of a circle.
I don't know why. I don't know why. It looked like that Aphex Twin logo, but it's not, so no.
Fuck
put
me,
a pin in that. I'll try and find who that is.
Okay. Pin. In the meantime, we got Death Clock.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can actually afford to be in Vegas. Can't believe it. You fly all the way fucking to Vegas just not to go fucking gambling. I can't spend that kind of money. Not the way the economy is. Fucking Orgy. Why?
Because they have a good cover song, apparently.
It's all right. Yeah. Lacuna Coil.
Hey, that's cool.
The Birthday Massacre. Nuevo Testamento.
Okay, here's a pin. That weird symbol is a band called Rendezvous. They are a French post-punk band.
Never heard of them.
Okay.
Scowl.
Mm.
Dope.
Oh, speaking of one-hit wonder bands.
Holy shit, they're still a thing?
Yeah, because nu metal quota. Because all they know how to sing is just die, motherfucker, die. That's all they do, and it's so fucking annoying.
Oh.
There's a Show Me the Body. Amira Elfeki?
unfamiliar.
I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right. Anyway, Lebanon Hangover. You suffer, but why?
Yes, Napalm Death, who will play their incredibly epic song that goes...
Oh, hey, that's also the sound of Peter Griffin saying all 50 states in a quarter of a second. Actually, that was just a loud yelping noise.
That on him a hot ones.
Oh, hey, I didn't realize there was actually going to be another fucking System of a Down project here, 7 hours after Violet.
There's the other one I was looking for.
And finally, Vision Video. Whatever the hell that is. So, yeah, this is just like, I understand the desire to, like, mix things up, but this is a really weird set of bands to throw together on a festival considering what it's been before. And, like we said, all the weird oddities from, like, fucking the Flaming Lips to Acid Bath getting back together, importing from Japan. Fucking the former governor of Florida, Nathan Explosion.
Can he run again? Because I think, like, anybody will be better than what you have right now.
Oh, God, I'm hoping so. Nah, I think he's too busy saving the universe. And I think fucking... We'd probably try to elect Toki, but I think he's too busy playing in Thunder Horse. No, wait, I got that wrong. It's Thursday, so I think he has astronaut class.
I mean, I get what you're trying to do here with the lineup. Try and mix things up a little bit. You can't always play the same bands every year. I get it. That's what the European festivals are for. But then again, that works because they know what they're doing, whereas here, we are selfish, entitled bastards who, for some reason, are willing to spend thousands of dollars for this stuff.
We are a strange species.
Yes, we are.
But, yeah, so enjoy yourselves, those who can afford the expenses to go to Vegas. But, yeah, that'll about do it for the news. And that pretty much just leaves one last thing we got to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of October 25th, 2024. Starting at the top, there is the newest album from Devin Townsend with Power Nerd. Of course, there's the debut album... The debut full-length from Better Lovers with Highly Irresponsible. Please be good. I need to wash the taste of Keith Buckley out of my mouth.
That's what she said?
Don't say that. That album was... I'm still just... From Fit for an Autopsy, we have Nothing That Is. 311 have a new album called Full Bloom. Pixies with The Night the Zombies Came. Soccer Mommy with Evergreen. I assume for the boomers interested, there's a new Allman Brothers Band live album called Final Concert 10-18-14. And last, probably also least, Halsey with The Great Impersonator.
Oh yeah, that one where she basically say, he's doing various album covers of other people's works. Or, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just amused myself by making Dr. Doofenshmirtz jokes like, "Ah, Perry the Platypus, behold, my newest invention, the Great Impersonator! Enator!"
By the way, 18 tracks, disqualified.
Oh, thank God.
Okay.
Sorry, we don't have to pretend to give a shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As, kind of, sort of, always. Just look for Xander's thoughts on all the platforms with the Beowulf icon. You'll find me there talking about whatever I feel like talking about at any given time. And, God, I am just so fucking tired. I got a long day ahead of me. Do that.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
My type of media, where you find me, you know, X, Blue Sky, whatever the fuck you find me. My hotwarm.com. Something might happen this week. Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully indeed. So, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky at Rob Barracuda, Instagram, all of the places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky and, I guess, Twitter as well. Well, Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky.social. Twitter at Surreal Rezo, like us on Facebook, visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord as well so you can be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on any of the sites. That'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And until then, you know, the Naruto run is cool and all, but can you do the Ken Takakura pee dance?